Blog Talk Radio.
Give him praise.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you've paid. Bearing all my sin and shame, in love you came. Save amazing grace. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the death, piercing. Wash me in your cleansing blood. Now all I know, your forgiveness and praise. Oh!
Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the dark. That's who he is. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for being our waymaker, for being our promise keeper, for being a light in the dark. When we can't see, you give us light. Oh, Father, we just bless your name even right now. And we thank you, Father, for this opportunity to come this morning and break bread. Oh, God, we ask you to speak through your scriptures. Use my eyes, my ears, and my lips of clay, that as we minister this word, oh, God, it would not just be words going out, but it would be your unction, your authority, your will being done, and not my will. We ask, oh God, that you continue to heal Apostle Millie's sister. Thank you for the report we got yesterday that the surgery went well and she's back home. Lord, we ask that, God, that this cancer just die at the root. They've taken out all that they could take out. Lord, we pray that everything is dried up. And, Father, that she would have a supernatural testimony as she begin to be strengthened in her muscles, in her bones, and arteries be strengthened, Lord. God, we pray, we thank you for every testimony that come back here. And even the ones that we don't hear, we thank you for. We bless your holy name. This morning, I'm going to be talking about the purified church. I remember talking about the sanctified church. It's almost the same message, almost, but different scriptures. Today, we want to talk about the purified church. And as I was thinking about this last night, and I was thinking and saying, you know, to be a purified church, we had to become more and more like Jesus every day. And we have to let go of the world. And we find that it sometimes be difficult. It's hard sometimes to let go of the world system, what the world stands for, what the world is showing us. You hear what I'm saying this morning. And we find ourselves most parishioners or most congregational members, most leaders will find themselves drifting back and forth. Sometimes they're all excited about the word of God. Next time they don't, it seems like the excitement just dry up. So what we find out as studying this message that we first thing that we must know, get to the place where we know who we are and whose we are. And when we recognize who we are and whose we are, we start living different. We start allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and deal with stuff that we can't deal with on our own. Do you hear me this morning? And here in the book, let's start in 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's start at verse 1. And Peter makes it very clear who he is, the Apostle Peter. He said, Peter, verse 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the chosen who are residing temporarily in the dispersion of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, according to the knowledge of God the Father, by the sanctification or being set apart of the Spirit, being made righteous by the Spirit, for the obedience and for sprinkling with the blood of Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Now, he exhorting the church. And we must get to this place where we are filled with exhortation. We must get to that place where we are filled with love and kindness, all of us. Sometimes it's difficult because sometimes we see people in the place that they are and they're not where they should be. And instead of we be like the Good Samaritan, we become like the priest and the Levite. You understand what I'm saying? And God is saying that we are being purified by his blood, the shed of the blood that was shed, that resurrected power that was shed at Calvary. So we ought to be walking in it, not just talking it. We ought to be walking in a way that when others that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior see us, they say, well, you know, that's the same brother over there. That's the same sister. That's a sanctified person. Oh, well, I could tell. Look at the way they carry, how they talk to people, how they treat people. No. Here, Peter, you know that Peter denied Jesus 3 times during Jesus' trial. He did. But after Jesus resurrected, Jesus confirmed Peter's love for him 3 times, calling Peter to care for Jesus' people. It earned even to the point of Peter's death. Jesus asked Peter 3 times, do you love me? Peter said, you know, I love you. He said, well, feed my sheep. Feed my lamb. Feed my sheep. You know, 3 times he asked him the same question. He just know how Peter feel. He know what Peter's heart was. Because even before he denied Jesus, Jesus told him that you would deny me 3 times before the cock crowed. 3 times you deny me. So here in this book of 1 Peter chapter 1, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now see, once you take on this characteristics of who Jesus is, something new happened inside of us, not just you, but all of us. When we take on his characteristics, when we have denied self, because in order to become the purified church of Jesus Christ, we got to practice denying self. It's not a one-time thing. Because some people say, because I repent to them, all right. No, you got to repent every day. You got to practice every day because the devil and his agents is not just coming at us just one day. They're not just coming on Saturday and then leave us alone on Sunday morning. They're not just coming on Sunday morning, leave us alone Wednesday night and Monday night. No, they're coming every day. Every day they're tempting us, regardless if we stay in the house or if we go on the street. Regardless if we go to the beach or if we go to the park. Satan is sending agents all the time to test us, to try us, and sometimes he tries us with food when we know we shouldn't be eating all that stuff. And we become like gluttonous. You know, sometimes he tries us with sex. Sometimes he tries us with money. All of these different things. He finds avenues. He shows you a house where you got a house already. And then you try to put in all the time that you can to make more money to get this bigger house. And you neglecting your spiritual growth by not studying the word, not fasting, not praying, not sharing the gospel. So Satan going to test us. So what do we have to do? We have to stay in the presence of the Lord. How do you do that? I'm glad you asked the question. We got to stay in the word. You and I, we have to stay in the word, in prayer and fasting. We have to find times. Don't say, well, I'm just going to fast just before crucifixion. I'm going to fast just before Good Friday. I'm going to fast just before Easter. I'm going to fast just before Christmas. You know, we pick up certain times. But no, we should be working at any time. Let's be here this fast. Once the Spirit give me okay to go ahead and fall and fast. I don't have to have to say, well, I'm just going to fast for my son or fast for my daughter or something. No, when the Holy Spirit said, go fast, I'm just going to fast for us. No. We got to be ready because we are strengthening the Spirit man. The Spirit man must become consumed with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We must starve the flesh and feed the Spirit. Glory to God. So we are, he said, This resurrected power of Jesus Christ, it raises up, it engulfs us with the life of who God is. It engulfs us, it takes over us. That's why people say, well, you think you are that. You think you are that. You think that you're more than me. No, I don't think I'm more than you. I just think that I'm becoming who God wants me to be. I just think that. You know what? Once people see you, you are gravitated to the kingdom. And you're studying the word of God and you're asking God to impart new wisdom and new revelation in you. They start to look at you and think, are you uppity? Or you more than them? Or you better than them? All this kind of foolishness they come up with. But in you, in your service, daughter, brother, I don't consider myself more than you. I just want to get closer to God. That's all. So don't let it be an offense to you. I'm just trying to get closer to God because I was so far in darkness. But now I feel like I need to get from where I used to be to where I need to be. Glory to God. The Bible says, into an inheritance imperishable and undefiled and unfading, reserved in heaven for you. See, once we begin to walk this thing out and we begin to live this thing out, you see, there's promises, hallelujah, blessings that are prepared for us, that are reserved for us, that cannot be destroyed, so they're imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. They cannot dissolve. Nobody can destroy them. They're reserved in heaven for you and I, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to reveal in the last time when Jesus returns. See, why don't we let this thing out? Because a lot of people think about it, just only saying it. I just got to tell you that I'm saved. I don't tell, run around telling them what I'm saying. I want to live a saved life. People talk about, I'm saved. I'm fire baptized. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And then when you look at them, you mesmerize. You, in your mind, you say, well, if that's what the saved person act like, if that's how a person that has this resurrected power in them, because the Bible says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lived in us. And if we have this resurrected power living in us, but we acting like the world, something is wrong. So folk look at someone, that's it. I don't want to be like them. I don't want that resurrected power. I've been doing the same thing they're doing right now without the resurrected power. So we have to live this life that is being purified. It's being perfected each day. God, we're not there yet. I hear Apostle Stuart say sometime a couple of years ago, if not 1 or 2 years ago, that we are not perfect, but we're being perfected. We are being perfected every day. God is perfecting us. He's making us a little better today than we were yesterday. Because he's giving us more understanding, more wisdom, more revelation of his word, of who he is. Each day we say the word of God. Each day that we spend time with him, he reveals a little bit more to us. Right here in the book of Peter, I'm just going to go through about 13 verses or so, and they say, as the Lord lead me. Now, I'm coming up to King James, and I got the Logos Bible up too, but I'm going to look at the King James. And he says here, verse 5, let's go back there. He says, who are being protected by the power of God through faith? Faith. You've got to have faith. Remember the Bible says that they that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a reward of those that diligently seek him. He said, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. You know, but he is a rewarder. He rewards us when we come to him in faith, trusting him, depending on him, and relying on him. So he says, oh, my God, in which you rejoice greatly, although now for a short time, if necessary, you are distressed by various trials. No, we're still rejoicing. We're going through things. And an apostle called me sent me a message yesterday. He said that apostle Minnie's sister had the surgery. You know, she was suffering for months now with his breast cancer. And she had to go in her weakness to have a surgery to remove the lymph nodes, as we call them. And she called me and said, well, we were praying. Everybody was praying for a few days. And yesterday, the prayer went up real heavy. And she had the surgery yesterday. Well, everything went well, and she was able to go home on yesterday. So that was a blessing. She said, I just want to know, we thank all the prayer warriors, everybody that prayed for Apostle Minnie's sister, because God is able. He's able. And see, she's a woman that born again. Yes, she got some people in the family that they don't believe like she believed. They don't believe like her sister Millie believed. But she's born again, and she's trusting God to come out of this thing. Like when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fiery furnace. They tell to the prophet, they said, let the king know. Let it be known that if God don't show up for us, let it be known that he's able. He's able to protect us. He's able to shield us. He's able to deliver us. See, even though she's going through, she is still in her spirit known that God's able to heal her. And if he don't heal on this side, he heal on the other side. You know, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, passing away, but is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, at the coming of Jesus Christ. See, we got to be able to stand. And sometimes when you come up short, just like I did the other day, when that lady pressed me and didn't want to pay me my money, my head went off. But I had to come back. I had to come back and say, look, you know, I apologize for allowing you to take my spirit where I don't like my spirit to go. I don't allow it to go there. You know, but I felt like I put in so much work, so much, all these holes I had to drill to run the pipe and all this stuff. Putting all the copper and stuff together, and hanging the putting, installing the boiler and the water heater, you know, won't hang water heater. And I feel like I deserve to get paid. But the Lord has to let me know, you've got to remember who you are. Remember who you are and whose you are. Because even though there's folks that are acting so uncouth, they still have an idea of who you are. But then when you act to slip off the deep end, then they in their mind they say, well, I thought, even though they treat you bad, they say, I thought he was a minister of the gospel. I thought she was a minister of the gospel. We gotta pay attention, because as the purified church, we have to be different. We have to act different. Not just acting like a movie star. I'm saying that we have to be different. I don't too much like that word act, because it sounds so comical and so pretentious. We have to be different. Let me say it this way. As the purified church, or the church that's been purified by Jesus Christ, by his spirit, we must be different. We must allow the world to see us different, even though the world is treating us different, misusing us, abusing us, oh my God, is hurting us, persecuting us. We have to allow them to see different. They said, well, I'm cussing him out. I'm cussing her out. I scratched up her car. I throw stones at her dog. And yes, he's saying, the Lord bless me. The Lord bless me. He's saying, the Lord bless me. He still has got a kind of, see, you mesmerize people when they talk bad about you. But yes, you got a kind thing. He said, well, loving kindness have drawn me. But you still have love. We still have love and compassion on heart for them. Now, I'm not going to McDonald's with them. I'm not going to Kentucky Fried Chicken for Jerome. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not going to Kentucky Fried Chicken or Popeyes. I'm not going to go to all you eat with them. But guess what? I'm going to show love. I'm saying, God love you. God love you, and I love you. And I mean this from the center of my heart, not from the bottom, from the center of my heart. But I'm not going to the mall with them, because they treat me bad. Why would I? I mean, common sense. I ain't get to the place where Jesus is yet. I'm trying to get there. But if you go and put your hand in the fence and the dog bites you, are you so stupid to go right by that fence again and put your hand through the fence? Or are you going to walk over on the other side? I know the dog over there. So I'm going to walk over the other side. I'm not going to walk there brushing my hand on that fence when I know that dog will bite me again. I'm lucky I still got a hand. But I got all his teeth marks in my hand to show proof that he bit me. Man, you got to use some common sense. Man, I'm saved. I got to go down there and win the soul. No, I'm going to pray for him from a distance. And if I got to pray for him from close, I go on. After I finish prayer, I go on. Hallelujah. Paul said, don't be unequally yoked. Why do we want to be unequally yoked? Because you want to proclaim that you're all that in the Bible. It says in the Pensacola. He told you, be careful lest you fall in. You fall in the same temptation. Hallelujah, we got to watch ourselves. So here in the first Peter chapter 1, maybe the first 13 verses we see, Peter is making this thing clear that you have this anointing on you. And because you have this anointing on you, there's a hope. There's a hope and glory for you. Hallelujah, remember we said it? He got imperishable and undefiled and unfailing reserved in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith, for his salvation ready to be revealed in the last day. This salvation, this is where you're going to step into your glory. You're going to step into this glory that Jesus said that he has for us. You're going to step into it. You're going to get your crown. You're going to get your robe. You're going to get your ring. You're going to get your silver. All this stuff you're going to get. You're going to step into it. But in order for us to get all of these blessings, because folks think that once they get the Rolls Royce, they got it. Oh, I'm the pastor of the church. I got a Rolls Royce for myself. I got one for my wife. And we got our own jet. They think they got something. That stuff going to pass away. The Bible says here in 1 Peter that the blessing that he has for us, that he has already for us, is imperishable. It cannot perish. It cannot fade away. It's not that you go down to Macy's or Nordstrom and buy a nice shark skin suit or alligator shoes, and you say, man, after 3 months, man, they don't have the shine anymore. And the suit is fading out. That nice silk tie I had, it don't look silky anymore. No. This stuff that God has for us, for the children, who have given their life completely to him, to live for him, to die for him, can't fail. It cannot fail. It cannot be, it cannot, it will not perish. He told you that. It's in the word, right here in this text. So what we have to do, we have to live this life. We said it yesterday. We have to live this life. It's not what we say, what we do. You say, you love me, show me. Don't wait till I die to go put some clothes on the grave. I really love that man of God. He was truly a man of God. And I'm alive. You wouldn't even give me a glass of lemonade, and I'm thirsty. My soul is sore. You wouldn't even give me two lozenges. But you love me. How can I love you? And I got something that you need I don't get to you. But I love you so much. You're on the side of the road. It's got flat tire. I don't even stop to help you. I drive on by. I see you walking. Don't even give you a ride. But I love you. Man, foolishness. Love is not what love says. Love is what love does. And then folks only want to give you stuff to get stuff from you. Man, stop that foolishness. I think I heard Pastor say that thing the other day. Stop that stuff. Give it to get. Man, give to people who can't even give to you. Man, you know how much I went to my honey cup car. I know she got paid today. So she get home. I'm going to send some money to India. So she get home here. And I'm not saying that boasting. I'm saying it because when God blesses with a little bit, we're going to give away some of it. We love to give. This is what you got to do. This is how you'll be blessed. And not only getting a financial blessing, get some gold, get some silver, some diamonds. No, bless. I got this morning, Apostle. I tell you no lie. I would go call you on to pray, but I said they always pray for me anyway. So I'm going to just lay hands on my head. The back of my head, I don't know if you ever experienced that. The back of my head, the center of the back of my skull was just bursting. Oh, my God. I took two painkillers, but didn't do nothing. And I don't like to take them because they don't let you sleep. I took two last night, didn't let me sleep at all. I had no sleep because it was so bad last night. But I got up this morning. I said, well, I called Parson today and get her to pray for me. I said, but you know what? I need this thing right now. So I got up and I said, Lord, I begin to pray. And I walk back and forth in from the bathroom to the bare window, the bathroom and the bedroom. And I lay hands on my head, both hands. And I begin to tell the Lord, Lord Jesus, I say, this same power that raised Jesus from the dead living in me. And I can't have no brain tumor. I said, how am I going to preach? How am I going to go places to declare the gospel? If I'm in the hospital laid up where they got some, I have to drill into my head and try to put stuff inside there to try to fix this stuff. And I said, Lord, I need to remove this, and not just remove, but dry it up, Lord. Well, I've been sitting here for quite some time now, almost 45 minutes or so, and I haven't had the pain. The pain just subsided. And I'm believing that whatever's inside my skull trying to mess with me, God is destroying it. You know, you got to be ready and believe because you call for this time. And you can't just lay down and say, oh, my Lord, I'm going to die. No, get up and fight this battle. Speak over yourself. You might not be able to get in hold with the apostle or bishop or the evangelist or deacon, but speak over yourself. Speak over yourself and then believe what you're speaking. Some folks speak that stuff and show their stuff, they go back in the dope. I don't know if it's really going to work. I still got to say, you start claiming, still keep claiming the pain. No. I'm telling God, thank you. That's what I'm telling God, thank you. But here, let's go back to this word because I'm excited about this word. I'm talking today about the purified church. Or you can say the church that's changing, you know, because Jesus coming for a church without spots, without blemish. I don't matter how the fella jump from one side of the altar to the other side of the altar and roll down on the floor and go around the pole in the building. If he has not lived the life that glorified God, that give God honor and glory, the life that edified the church, that built up the church, he's not going in. She's not going in. We can talk it. We can use all these highfalutin words that we use, the Greek, the Hebrew, and all this text that we use, the context that we use. We can use all that stuff, exegesis and all this stuff that we do, paralleling the scripture. We can do all that stuff, but if we don't live it, we're not going in. We got to allow the Spirit of God to purify us, not from the outside, from the inside. We have nice robes, nice dress. Nice wig, nice fingernails, nice toenails. But if we don't clean up or get the inside clean up, allow the Holy Spirit to clean up the inside, get what happens. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and 10, He said that I might know him in the power of the resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformer unto death. Paul wants to know about this Jesus that is so willing to go to the cross, so willing to lay down his life for the sinner like you and I. Peasants, a king laid down his life for peasants. Paul said, I want to know him. How can he love mankind so much that he's willing to lay on that? But that's the kind of love that he has. And God wants us as his church to look beyond people's faults. You've got too much stuff going on in the house of the Lord right now. I'd like to say the house of men. Too much stuff going on that we can't even sit next to. I was in the house back here in Boston on Quincy. And the bishop, a good preacher. But you had people in there, evangelists and teachers. Yet they want to sit next to some people. So, I can't stand her. I ain't going to sit next. How can you be serving God? You can't even sit next to your brother. I see you love Christ. Can't sit next to your brother. I got a grievance with her. I don't like her. I like the way she thinks she thinks she all that. Foolishness. Peter says, oh my God. Verse 8 says, whom have I not seen yet love? And whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. See, the life that we are living, let's go back to verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that precious, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. See, we living this thing out. We living this thing out. God wants us to live this thing out. Because people are going to talk. They're going to say stuff. They're going to accuse us wrongfully. And if we're not doing right, they'll be accusing us rightfully. But we don't want them to be in sync. We don't want to be in sync with what they're saying. We want that whatever they're saying be a lie, because we're living this thing out. So that when he comes, he said, come on in, daughter, come on in, son. You don't want him to say, depart from you, you work of iniquity, I never know you. I want him to welcome me with open arms and say, here's your golden slippers, your golden sandals. Here's your ring of sonship. Here's your robe, showing that I care for you, your love. Here's your crown of authority. Hallelujah. So this is why we got, he says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. See, when Jesus comes, we're going to really step into that robe of salvation. Be prepared now. You see, a lot of people are going to say, well, the bishop prayed for you, and you see, you receive your salvation, you're saved, and a lot of them are not going to get it. You know why they're not going to get it? Because they're not living. They're not allowing him to purify them. This is a work. Paul said, the work of your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is a work that must take place in all of us. All of us, if we want to really go in with the Lord when he comes with our angels, if we want to be caught up with him in the sky, we have to live a life that is worthy of being caught up. Do you hear what I'm saying? I know I'm not talking to myself alone, because this message, when I begin to say this message, it convicted me. So this is so much you got to do. You still got to let go of some thoughts and some stuff that mess with you from time to time. You got to let go. You got to let the Holy Ghost deal with this stuff. Because we want to act like we arrived. Most of us, like we arrived. No. I'm telling you about me. I'm not talking about nobody. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about nobody. I am telling you about me. There's things in my life that thoughts that come that I got to let go. I got to shut them down. They're thoughts. I don't do anything. But you know, the Bible says you're sinning word and thoughts and indeed. So I have to watch these thoughts and pass the cast on all thoughts and imagination. I've got to shut them things down. When thoughts come, I say, boom, no. You're living in here today, devil. Take your thought and go down the street with it, because it don't belong here. Don't drop that mail off here. Don't drop it off at my door. Get off and go. I'm just talking about me, because these messages, I was telling thoughts, when I hear these messages, they cut me. I hear these messages, I know something, that's for the other fellow, because, you know, I'm a apostle, I'm a bishop, I'm a this. No, it's for us. We ain't a rag, only Jesus is. Only Jesus is, that's how. We ain't got there yet. Yes, we're doing much better than we did 25, 30 years ago. But we still got a way to go. We still have a way to go. So don't push your chest up. Don't push your stuff up and think that you're arrived. You got to get. No, you still got a way. The devil is still stepping. He's still there. Peter walked with him. John walked with him. Timothy walked with him. All the boys walked with him. Devil said, Judas walked with him. Eat with him. Drink with him. And devil still tested him. You think if he could test them and they were right there with him at the table, eating with him, what do you think he's going to do to us? Don't let the devil fool you. Guard yourself. Keep your armor on. Keep your armor shining. That even when the devil come close to you, that the light, the reflection from your armor will knock him back. Blind him. He can't even see who you are. Keep your armor clean up. Listen. Let's go a little further. Oh, my God. Verse 11 says, searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. Listen. Christ suffered. We going to suffer too. But yes, I think the glory came when he resurrected from the grave. The glory going to come. The glory is coming for us too. After suffering, glory. No pain, no gain. No correction, no growth. Hallelujah. So if we want to walk, we're going to go through some stuff. Even in the building that you are, your sister pastor in. Your sister pastor. You're the sister, apostle, or whoever. Sister bishop, sister deacon, sister usher. You're going to get some stuff in there. People are going to come in there because Satan don't use nobody from outside. Yet you want, you know this too. Satan don't use anyone from outside. Use people inside. And they start conjuring up stuff about the pastor. You know, the pastor is messing with these little boys. The pastor messing with the little girls. The pastor eat everything. The pastor drink everything. Oh, he don't left nothing. They find something to say about the pastor in the church. And then the pastor going to get upset because once the news get, because somebody going to bring, God always does that way. God always says that when the devil's saying he's doing something, pastor's not going to have the Lord is not going to have the pastor without understanding. Somebody going to come and say, Pastor, Pastor Bishop, you know, so-and-so is talking your name, saying this about you. And then the pastor not going to get upset unless he really got to that place where he can look beyond and see their needs. Hallelujah. But God going to bring it back. I'm going to let you know. God going to let you know. Hallelujah. But here, Peter says, he says, searching what? Oh, what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, the apostles, did signify. When it testified beforehand, talking about the prophets, the suffering of Christ and the glory that shall follow. Unto them, it was revealed, but not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angels deserve to look into. Angels want to see what we see. The prophets before wish they could see and experience what we see. The fullness of who God is. Come. He in the fullness of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, the Father. Jesus was everything. He is the Father. He is the Son. And he the Holy Ghost. The prophets wish to see that. He says, wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, you got to live in this hope. We live with expectation of the coming of our Savior. Peter says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance. Remember, don't go back to the things that you want to do like a dog. Go back to the vomit. We find ourselves that if things are not going the way they're supposed to go for us, we go back to the place that we once was. I don't do this stuff. I said, Lord, if I can't continue on this path that you have laid down for me, take me home. Why am I going to go back into the crack house in the whole house? Why am I going to go back there? There's nothing there for me. I want to tell some folks that they try to tell me, I said, man, if you want to go down there, they said, well, I remember when you were smoking cocaine, when you were doing it. I said, well, that's good you remember that, because I said, I left that place a long time. And if you still want to bother with that, I didn't smoke all the coke and I didn't drink all the alcohol. You can go back down there and finish mine. Because I ain't going back down there. You know, folks, the devil always comes to try to remember your past, but you got to be ready to tell him about his future. He says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. We can't talk like we used to talk. Our speech got to be different. It just got to be different. No, he says, because it is written, be holy, for I'm holy. He quoted the book of Leviticus. We got to be holy. He said, but Pastor, how am I going to do this? With the help of the Holy Ghost. Holiness, living holy life is difficult because you've got to give up a lot of stuff. You've got to stay away from a lot of stuff, shed a lot of stuff. And some people, even some family members, you've got to stay away from because they're going to cuss anywhere when they get close to you. That's their MO. They cannot talk one phrase without cussing. There can't be no place unless they have a drink in their hand. You know, and you got to be careful sometimes because when they start to get intoxicated, they spill the alcohol on you. And somebody, when you come in, somebody smell the alcohol might think that you were drinking. So you got to be always be watchful and prayerful and careful, you know. So you have to know that who you are and whose you are. In the book of Colossians, let's go to Colossians. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1. We're talking about the purified church. We got to know without a shadow of doubt who we are, whose we are. And then once we recognize, Apostle Minnie Reach talked about the life in the Spirit. We got to get to this place that we working on the Spirit man. And you know we can't do that on our own. We can read some scriptures, such as scripture, but we need the Holy Ghost. That's what Jesus says, expedient that I go to the Father, and go back where I came from. That's what he was saying. But he said, I won't leave you comfortless. He said, I'm going to send some help because you'll need some help. And everything that I've talked to you, everything that I've spoken with you, he's going to bring back to your remembrance. We have to get into this word of God. And we have to invite the Holy Ghost to help us. Pastor Watson said, yeah, when you open the Bible, to study, ask the Holy Ghost to give you understanding. Ask him to break down the word for you that you'll see what he want you to get. Because sometimes we go over it, but we don't see it. We don't see it because we're moving too fast. That's why the Bible says study, not read, study. Go over and over until you get it. And the Holy Spirit is so wise. He has given to you that you'll start talking to yourself. Do you see that? You'll start talking to you, to yourself. Because he is so wise. When he break it down and open it and shine the light of heaven on it, you say, my God, do you see that? Nobody in the room but you. Physically. No, the Holy Spirit's there. But you say, do you see that? You find yourself talking to yourself because he is so wise. Ask him when you open up. Here in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. That's what it got. Suppose therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. See, we got to be ready and willing to extend some kindness. We got to be humble. Hallelujah. I know you're an apostle. I know you're an archbishop or a chief apostle, whatever your gift is or your talents are. But we don't have to run off in that way. Hey, you can't talk to me like that. You're going to talk to me. I'm an apostle. Well, people are going to give you respect when you show respect. When you're walking in authority, you don't have to exercise, I got some folk that here, man, will make you laugh. How they act. Because they're the pastor. Like here in Boston, which will blow your mind. And they want when they check up. And then they talk about the congregational members. I know because they talk about me. And it got back to my head. Don't bother me none. Because I'm not living for no pastor. I'm living for Jesus. That's all I'm living. I'm not even living for my honey. I'm living for my children. I'm living for Jesus. But we have to be careful. So he says here, he says, put on therefore as the elect, the chosen. That's what the elect is. You're chosen. You're called by God. You're the church. You're the one that he's depending on to carry this message of the kingdom to those that don't know the kingdom. So God said, now walk as though you know that you know that you know that you're purified. Walk this way. Know that I'm purifying you. I'm making you right. Putting you in right standing that you can stand up and say, yes, I belong to God. He said, I do. He said, put on bowels of mercy. You got to have this compassion. Folk preaching and teaching the gospel don't have no compassion, apostle. No mercy. And then when they know they're short, don't let the Holy Ghost jam them. Let the Holy Ghost, oh, Lord, I said, but he jammed me. I cried like a baby. My wife said, why are you crying? I said, God, the Holy Ghost just smacked me. I was so stuck up in myself. He said, no, son, don't you go there. That's not what I put you in the darkness for. I put you in the darkness so you can shine. And when you shine, people will see me, not see you. You got to understand this. Folks say, well, man, you know, I got this, I got that. Now. No, you ain't got nothing. All you have, you got to leave behind. You coming here naked, and you're going out naked. Even the suit you have, the bugs and the worms going to eat up all that stuff. The ants going to eat up that suit, them shoes. The leather shoes, they're going to eat that stuff. Because when you have no more flesh and their blood is dried, and there's no blood for the bugs and worms and stuff to eat, they're going to eat your shoes. They're going to eat your fancy tie. Guess what? They might even try to eat that gold bracelet you have or that gold ring and that Rolex watch you have. They're going to try because they want to stay alive. Then they're going to cut themselves with that dirt and come and go surface on the ground. Now, I'm telling you something. We're trying to protect stuff that's going to dissipate. It's going to dissolve. It's going to rotten. Instead of trying to get this soul, this spirit man together to meet Jesus when he returns, when he reveals himself again. Coming with the end. He says, forbidding one another and forgiving one another. See, we don't want to help each other. That's the problem. That's the problem. I could tell you some stuff now that will blow your mind, but I wouldn't say it. Because I heard the message yesterday, and I heard some stuff. But if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. What is that? We find it hard to forgive people. Like we all got in a bag of sticks in a Pepsi-Cola. We find it hard to forgive our brothers and sisters, but we say we save, we sanctify. We hold it. We're the righteousness of God. Devil's a liar. If you can't forgive me and I can't forgive you, we got to go back to the altar. Let us hold hands or walk to the altar and fall down. And open our mouth and say, God, I'm sorry. Because I'm offended by my brother or my sister. I haven't forgiven them, Lord. Help me to let go and let God. And say when you come up from there with you and your sister, if the jungle of Lord don't overtake you, you start speaking in tongues, you start running, praying, jumping, everything right, because you just release yourself and release your brother. Oh, no, can't do that. Here. Let's go to Philippians. Go back to Philippians. Go to Philippians chapter 3 again. I give you verse 10 before. Let's go to verse 20. Listen what he says. Paul is talking. The Apostle Paul is talking. He says, for our conversation is in heaven. You hear what he's saying? We got to watch what we're talking. Hallelujah. Because we're still trying to converse like we were before we were saved. I'm loud. But that's all right, because that's the way God made me. I'm a general for the Lord. I'm nothing in myself, but when I get behind this megaphone, I'm a general for the Lord. Listen to what Paul says. For our conversation is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Paul said, no. When you speak, you got to speak all just like you coming out of heaven. I'm ambassador for heaven. Hallelujah. We can't. Now, I see folks say, well, you know, that's all right because you ain't know me no around. They cussing all over your face and all that stuff that you're talking about. It's all, no, it's not all right. It's not all right. If that's the way that you're going to be, I see you. He said, who shall change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned, listen what's in, like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto him. See? This body, when we get this body under subjection, he's going to give us the body we need to carry that spirit. Do you hear what I'm saying? He's going to give us the body we need to carry the spirit, man. Because this old body that we have here can't go where we want to go. That's why we gotta put this body under subjection. This body wants you to have sex. It wants to have fornication. It wants to have you to commit adultery. This body wants you to steal. They want you to cuss. They want you to be like a con artist. They want you to be a liar. They want you to cheat. They want you to do all the things that are contrary to the word of God. I'm talking about the purified church. When you become the purified church, no longer can we act like that anymore. I'm sorry to say you, because I don't like seeing you at our period. We, I like to say we, or us. We can no longer be acting that way anymore. Why? Because this old body that we carry is under subjection. My spirit man is alive. Our spirit man is alive. It's alive in Christ Jesus, because he said in Romans that the same body, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. So we are living with the resurrected spirit of Jesus Christ on the inside of us. Do you hear me today? We are the purified church. And the devil is scared, because when we get to understand, to know, to get to the place that we know that we are the purified church of the living God, the devil become mad, because no longer can he put that stuff on us. No longer can he put chains on us anymore. No longer can he lock us up in our mind, because that's where he attacks us, dropping all types of thoughts in our head. Got us getting mad with our brothers and sisters without a cause. The devil is slick, man. He's a slick old dude. That's what the Bible called him, an old roaring lion. Walking about seeking who he may devour. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He's an old lion. You know what I first, in the spirit first gave me understanding of that word? Because I didn't understand when I was young in the church. And I said, my God, why do we say this? Like an old roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And when I got the revelation of it, man, God, I was running, Apostle. I was running. Because God told me when I got the revelation of, you know, Satan's like a roaring lion. Old one. See, he can't devour everybody. Only who allow him to. Because you are blood-bought. And he can't come true. That blood. That's a covenant mark. Hallelujah. That's a covenant mark between you and God. The blood is a covenant mark. Hallelujah. He said, when the angel see the blood, that's a covenant mark. He said, you got to pass over. When Satan see that blood on you, on us, he got to move on. The only way he can come by, and he can't even touch you, all he can do, when he come by for the thought. The blood is covering us. And then we got to now submit to Satan's thought. And activate the thought in our life. They say, I got her. I got her. He said she wouldn't go have no sex outside of marriage. But I got her now. He said he wouldn't go fornicate. But I got him. I make that girl look good to him. I make that boy look good to her. I got him. See, we got to be quick to cast on those thoughts of imagination. We got to bring them to capture the obedience of Christ Jesus. Every thought that is exalted itself against the knowledge of God, we've got to cast them down. If it doesn't edify, it'll terrify. If it doesn't give you growth, if it doesn't add to you, it'll subtract from you. Hallelujah. If it doesn't elevate you, it'll put you down. So what we got to do? Measure it with the word of God. Here in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says, excuse me. Paul says, verse 14 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what commune has light with darkness? See, we got to look at this stuff. Sometimes we say, well, I'm just this. You're not just this. You're more than just this or that. We're more than just this or that. I don't mind what they acted. Yes, you got to mind. We have to mind. Why? Because we are different. You look the same. You stay black. You stay white. You stay yellow. Whatever your complexion are. But on the inside, you are different. We are different. And the devil told you to stay, man. Don't listen to that liar. He's the father of lies from the beginning. He's the father of lies. There's no truth in him. You're not the same. We're not the same. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you took on the Holy Spirit as your helper, you're not going to come on in, because you're not going to come on if you invited me. It's a gift. But you got to accept the gift. I got folks send me stuff, and they just send me stuff, and I don't pick it up from the outside. Guess what happens? The mailman will take it back. Hallelujah. If it's in the mailbox in the stadium all the time and I don't pick it up, the mailman will take it back. And they send it back to the sender. Hallelujah. So you got to get to a place where you know it's not for you, don't take it. If it's for you, take it. And you know what? If it's coming from the devil, it's not for us. You got the wrong address. Here he says, you can't be unequally yoked. We are trying to hook up with people that are unbelievers. They don't even want to hear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we want to win them for Christ. Pray for them. Pray for them. But don't go and say, well, I'm going to hang out with them all weekend. Or we go to the mountains for the weekend. They go to the mountains with smoke, get high, get drunk, get sex up. Cussing and drinking up. They ain't going to the mountains to read no Bible, study no Bible. Don't go. They may be your cousins or uncles or aunts or something. Don't go. Pray for them. God can do a whole lot with prayer. More he can do with prayer than we can do with just going to showing ourselves. Prayer. He worked behind the curtain. See the song where it says, even when I don't see him, he working. When I don't hear him, he working. He's a promise-keeping God. He's a light in the darkness. He's a way maker. Hallelujah. When I don't see him, he's still working. So I can get in my closet and go in the bathroom and shut the door and pray. I don't see him. But I know he's working. He says, Paul says, and what concord have Christ with Belial? Belial is a spirit, a satanic spirit. In the dictionary, it says he's a spirit of evil personified. The devil, Satan, Belial. So God don't have no relationship with him. There's no compassion. There's no fellowship. So we have to have the same mindset. On what part have he that believeth with an infidel? Folk don't believe it. Infidel is one that don't believe in your faith. Your religious belief don't have the same religious belief as you do. So we're not hooking up with people that are not going the same direction. You're going left, I'm going right, still want to hook up with you. I know that's not the path that I'm supposed to be on. You're supposed to be driving off. They're going south, but you're going to go with them. How foolish can that be? When you get south, you got to come all the way back if you be able to get back. People get shot and they say, well, they weren't supposed to be there. I don't know how she get down there, all the way down there. Young girl here was kidnapped from, she goes to the bar over in Rhode Island, which is another couple of cities over. Goes there, and I'll talk about an hour and a half to get there from here. Depending on the traffic, sometimes an hour and 45 minutes. And, you know, it's got a lot of Latinos and a lot of foreign people down there. So anyway, she goes to the bar. It's a 24th birthday. I think it was a 24. Hey, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful young lady. Come here on a magazine cover. She met this young man in there. We see him, nationality or something. And he he started talking with her. She, you know, she said she was a good girl. But no, she's a good dead girl. Yeah, what's that? She was a good girl, but no, she's a good dead girl. The man took her, raped her, cut her up, and put her in a bag. I hate to tell you this in the word, because somebody got to know this. When you get hooked with unequally yoked, with unbelievers and people that not going the same direction as you, you may not get back. He drove that woman from Rhode Island 400 and some miles to New York City. And they caught him. He said, hide her in the trunk of the car. You hear what I'm saying? You can't hook up. I'm going north, you're going south, you're going west. I'm not going with you. I'm just using this analogy. But Paul says, and what agreement have the temple of God? You are the temple of God with idols. People say they're going to church. Somebody was talking about that witchcraft. Yeah, they're dealing with our tarot cards and Ouija boards and all this kind of stuff. I know when I was growing up in the Caribbean, my friend, family, that's what I'm talking about. We came unequally. We would grow up in, I grew up in the church. But his mother and father, and then people was into sorcery. They got a lot of stuff from here, from the United States, from that guy called DeLawrence. He's somewhere in Chicago, somewhere. There's some guy. I know if he's white, black, or yellow, but I know he's the top one of them sorcerers, warlocks. And he used to say people in the Caribbean buy a lot of stuff from there. So I saw them family was doing so well. And we were poor. We had nothing. They had nice bathroom and all of that. We had an outhouse. I grew up with an outhouse. Till I came in there, my sister's son, he built a bathroom because he studied plumbing before I did, and he built a bathroom for my mom. But I want to be like them. The woman's son and I, Tony Brown, we were so close. We were like brothers. If I had a dollar, give him 50. He had a dollar, give me 50. We were like brothers. If he had a bread, he would cut the bread in half and give me half. That's how we lived. And I said, man, I want to get some ideas of that stuff that you all, what are you all doing that make you all prosper. Next thing I know, Apostle, I had a crystal ball. Next thing I know, I had a magician wand. Next thing I know, I had all these powders that they were doing to mesmerize people. I'm telling you, I know this stuff, Papa. That's why he said, I stay away from that foolishness. Because all it gets you is to hell. Then, and next thing I know, I had a Ouija board. And that Ouija board, let me tell you something about the Ouija board. Don't let nobody fool you. That's real stuff. That Ouija board was trying to take over me. Take over my heart. My mind. You see that thing you talk? That thing move all over that little dial that goes on there, goes all over the top, spelling out names of different demons. Hallelujah. I'm telling you something. Yes, I'm sitting here because Paul said we can't be unequally yoked because somebody looked at the prophet, don't get hooked with him. I got more than enough now. I had more than enough then, but I didn't know how much I had. Because I had a good understanding of who Jesus was. But I was looking for the natural stuff, the material stuff, you know. And I had to try hard, man, try hard to get rid of that stuff. Couldn't get rid of it, but I got rid of it. All that stuff. And repent and ask God to change my heart, come and take over my life. And then I started moving up and down. That's how I got to the United States. God made that way for me to get here. Because it was hard for people to get out, but God made a way for me. When it seemed like it was real hard, God made an easy way for me to get here. In 1974, 76, somewhere. But Paul said, you've got to know who you are. I'm trying to tell you this. He says, and what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, not the dead God. Not Buddha, not Confucius, not Muhammad, but the living God, Jesus Christ. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. See, God wants to be our God. He wants us to know that he is our God, the true living God, the one that sit high and see low, the one who can do all things but fail. Then Paul says, wherefore come out from among them and be separated, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. and I will receive you. See, it's important that we know this. God wants to have us so close to us that we can feel his breath. When we're going through, we can feel him touching us, holding us up. When it seems like we're slipping, we can see that he's holding us. He's not letting us fall down the mountain. It looks like we're at the brink of the crevice of the mountain. We're going to fall in. But Christ said, no, I'm your helper. I'm your deliverer. Trust me. This is what he wants. And this we got to do. We got to allow him to do it. I got so many scriptures on this. But look, he says, and I will be your father unto you. Is he your father today? Because if he's your father, that means that you're being obedient. You're doing what he said to do. He said, I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. God wants to bless us. Go back to verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Listen, listen, listen. Don't receive the grace of God that unmerited favor that Christ has bestowed upon us from Calvary with emptiness. God, that's what vain is. Emptiness. Unworthily. We don't really appreciate it. We misuse it. Listen to what Paul is saying to us. Go to, glory to God, let's go to James. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I hope you all get something out of this, because I'm getting a lot for myself. I am so excited with this word. Thank you, Brother Deacon. I am so excited. James chapter 4 and verse 4. We're talking about the purified church. The purified church. Or you can say the church that's being purified. But the way he gave it yesterday was the purified church. Because we know that we're being purified every day. He's making us cleaner every day. Something is being exposed in our life that causes us to go to him and ask him for our help, for his help. He says in James chapter 4 and 4, he says, you adulterers and adulterous, knowing not that the friendship with the world enmity with God, whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I mean, you don't want that to be no clearer than that. This Apostle James is telling us straight that if you stay connected with the world, you become an enemy to God. Hallelujah. He says, do you think that the scripture said in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Until we get the spirit of Jesus Christ on the inside, we can always have that thing. Satan, now he attacks your flesh because your spirit has been renewed, according to Romans chapter 12. Your spirit is being renewed. Corinthians 5 and 17. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are new in Christ Jesus. But Satan is still dealing with it. I think somebody, I don't know if it's the Apostle George said that when Jesus died on the cross, he died to save your soul, not your flesh. So our flesh is still active. That's why you can see preachers and lay people that they could preach with such fire, and then they go sodomize some little boy, little girl, or commit adultery or fornication or steal or get drunk or get stolen from some methamphetamines or something, because their flesh is still under the world, the clutches of the world. That's why he said you got to starve the flesh and feed the soul, feed the spirit. He said, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he said, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. When you come to God in humility, knowing that you, when we come to him, knowing that we fall short. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Oh, A-double-L. That flesh going to trip you up sometime, trip us up sometime. Do you hear me? That flesh will trip us up sometimes, but God is just so merciful. And we're saying because she went and sleep with that guy, because he went and sleep with that girl, and he know he's an apostle, he shouldn't have done that. He knows the bishop shouldn't have done that. But God knows that flesh. In that flesh dwell nothing good. Nothing good is in the flesh. That's why we got to stay in the presence of the Most High God. And the more we pray and get with people that are praying, the stronger we'll become. And we'll be able to overcome the tricks of the enemy, because that's all he's doing. He's a trickster. You know, he got only three weapons he has. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. Only three weapons. Same three weapons he used in the Garden of Eden is the same three weapons he's using now. Sometimes they have him in a tuxedo. Sometimes he had him in jeans. Sometimes he had him in a nice lounge dress, nice lingerie. You know, he dressed up them three weapons in all type of fashion. Sometimes they got a jerry curl. Sometimes they got a fluffy afro. Sometimes they got their hair silky. He dressed them up, those three weapons. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. And that's what we got to do. The Bible says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh unto thee. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You see, you got to know that we have this thing in us, this flesh, this desire in us that wants us to sin. You don't want to, but the flesh wants us to sin. But we're walking in this purification, in this purified mindset, that every time that this flesh shows up, we say, Lord, I need your help right now. Go to Exodus chapter 19. I need your help right now, God. I'm going to give you a couple more scriptures. I don't stop. I got a lot of scriptures, but I don't stop. Let the Holy Spirit bring me down. Exodus chapter 19, verse 22. Glory to God. Whew. Exodus 19 and 22. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, let's do 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down. Charge the people lest they break through unto the Lord's gate to gaze. And many of them perish. No. Moses is on Mount Sinai with the Lord. He is the only one that got that close. Even though he didn't get to go to the promised land, he the one that got that close to God. He went up there, he is having a talk with God, getting some information. This is why, you know, when you go, and I was in the other church over here, the head of church when I first got back here, a predominantly Caucasian church. We would go up to the mountain up in New Hampshire. Very, very beautiful place. And have a lake or something up there, coming the water, come down the mountain. And we go over there and spend time with the Lord. You know, you had no telephone, don't work up there, TV don't work up there, there's no signal. So, in a sense, nobody trying to get in touch with you. So people would say, well, why they go up on the mountain and stay up on the mountain so long? That's the same thing that people do to, it's Moses. This Moses, I don't know what become of him. You know, he brought us all the way over here, and now he gone. He been gone for so long. And Moses, God told Moses to go down and talk to the people, lest they break through and get too close. And let the priests so also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. See, we have to sanctify ourselves. Same thing as purify. We have to allow the Lord to clean us up from the inside out. Because if we don't, when we get into this mindset of sinning, he's going to break through on us too. We're not going to escape. We're not going to escape. He said, all souls are mine, but the soul that sinner shall die. And if we go on into sin, what's going to happen? We're going to die. This is talking about the second death. All souls that sinner shall die. So we want to sanctify. He said, and Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saith, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away. Get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron, with thee. But let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth up upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. You know when you in a place of fasting and praying and seeking the Lord, you have to really pay attention. We have to pay attention, because what happens is a lot of times we forget that we are in a holy place. You may not be in a sanctuary somewhere, but you're in a holy place. Jump up to chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. If the people come up, you just come from in the presence of the Lord, fasting for 21 days, 40 days, 7 days, 3 days, and all of a sudden them people are, they're defiled. They've been cussing, drinking, doing this, and all the time you go come and let them come and wrap their hands around you. Don't do that. Stop doing that. Stop allowing them to come and caress you. No. Let some space between you and them. So Moses said, he told Moses, you got to head around the mountain. They can't break through. But God said they can. He said if they come through, he gonna destroy them. So he said, go ahead and warn them. So here in verse 5 and 6, he says, now therefore you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. Then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now you've got to understand where you are. God has purified us. We become gods. He has paid the price for us to be purified at Calvary. The blood, washed in the blood, cleansed with the blood. And he gave us his word to keep us walking in that path, walking in life. Exodus 31 and 13. Let me give you one more. We have to walk in it, and we have to operate in that frame of mind. I know I got to this place, man, that when I'm fasting and when I got to fast, I don't deal with foolishness. I really don't. I don't deal with foolishness. I stay away from all that stuff, because I'm turned this life completely over to Christ Jesus. Completely. No, here he says 31 and 13, this one verse here. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. We got to get back to honoring the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is made for us, not us for the Sabbath day. But this sanctification is to keep us in line with what God wants. Carefully change this thing. But we need to get back to the Sabbath day. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day that you have given us. I still got about 20 more scriptures. But, oh, Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for allowing us to hear from you today, how you spoke to us, Lord. Allow us to know that we are the purified church. Lord, and you want us to walk as the purified church, not to compromise our stance. Father, we recognize that the world is changing faster and faster and faster. But we also recognize that you still sit high and see low, that you go every place at the same time, that you know all things, you can see all things, you hear all things, and you can do all things. We ask, Father, that you give us more grace and more mercy, and that, Lord, you help us to be more compassionate and to be much kind to our brothers and sisters, even to those that are not saved, that don't know you. Help us to forgive when forgiveness is warranted. Help us to extend mercy when mercy is warranted, Lord God. Help us to be patient with our brothers and sisters, O God, that we don't run off and act simple. Lord, help us to be long-suffering, that when our brothers and sisters are going through, that we will help them to bear their burdens. Lord, we pray today for you, your strength, We pray for your continuous love to rest and abide upon us, Lord God. And for all who shall hear this message, Lord, Lord, let their life not remain the same, but take them from where they are while they're hearing the message to where they need to be after they hear the message. And we'll be so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' holy name. Come on in, Bishop. Do your stuff, Bishop. Bishop. Come on in, Bishop. All right, Mother Grant, go ahead and read your stuff.
I'm here, Apostle. I don't know why.
Okay. I hear you now. Go ahead.
All right. For those who have never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, take this opportunity to do so. It could be your last chance. Don't play with that. Your salvation is right in front of you. Just accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. For those who have backslidden, come back home this day. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Because none of us know what hour or what day when the Lord will say, I'm requiring your soul. And you cross over. Don't want to cross over and don't be in God's graces. And don't be a saved person. So now, take this opportunity to save, to be saved. And if you go to the book of Romans, I mean, chapter 10, verses 8 and 9 says, but what does it say? It says, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And confession is made in verse 9. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe that he died for our sins and we were freed from sin and God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's plain, clear, and very easy. Look at it in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 through 9. And like I said, verse 9 is the confession statement itself, but you must say it out loud. Can't read your thoughts, but he sure can inject thoughts in your mind. Don't let him fool you once again. He fooled you into doing whatever it was that you were doing wrong. And the key is repentance. Repentance means do not go back to the way you were previously living, no matter what your habit was. I had an alcohol problem. Put myself right on the front line. I don't drink anything. No alcohol at all. It's crazy. But I did, and I was so glad that I came to my senses. Praise the Lord God Almighty. Praise you, Jesus, for coming and dying for my sins and iniquities and for everyone's sins and iniquities. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you for leaving the Holy Spirit with us when you return back to your home in the promised land. Oh, glorious Master, thank you. Thank you. Now, the next step is to be baptized. If you haven't been baptized, we do it here at Blog Talk Radio. As it says in the book of Acts, that in chapter 2, beginning at verse 38, and it says, and what did Peter say? He said, repent, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall be saved. If you sit at confession, you are now saved. You're a brand new creature in Christ. And God loves us all. That's why he sent his only begotten son, so that we would not perish. Don't disappoint the master. Hallelujah. Don't do it. I'm disappointing. And if you have a church that baptizes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the proper way, according to the book of Acts. It's the only name mentioned in the word by which we should be saved, not that if you buy an island and the world blows up, that you'll be safe on your island. What do you think is going to happen to your island? You're going to die where everybody else unsaved. And then you're going to eternal damnation if you die in a critical state. So, That has a right. God will take care of us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I invite someone to your baptism. By doing so, take someone to be baptized of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, God bless each and every one of you. Take care of yourself and your families during this holiday season. Wear your mask. You must come in contact with people. Wear the mask. It's our first line of defense is having the mask on. So we're not scientists. We don't know how to do this. So follow what the scientists say, because they know with medications and pills of any kind that you have to take, different vitamins, C, zinc, echinacea. God knows that people know what to take. It'll help us to keep our lives long and healthy. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Apostles, back to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Bishop. We thank God for that prayer of salvation. God bless
hallelujah.
You. God keep you. God give you strength. God continue to empower you and your lovely wife, Apostle Washington. We just pray God's strength over you, my brother. And God continue to keep you strong. And if you weather the storms of life, that God be with you always, because he said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So I pray strength for you every day, every day, every day, every day. So, Mother God, are you ready to read?
What do you want to play the hero?
Good morning, good afternoon. Yes.
Good morning.
Good afternoon. Good
afternoon, Mother Grant.
I can hear you now.
God bless you. Bishop, the message you bring forth, blessing to everybody on the line.
Hello.
Hello.
God bless you. God bless you. We hear you.
Thank you, Mother Grant.
Okay, yes. My reading is, say, Seeking God. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. 2 Chronicles 15:2. Sow yourself righteousness. Reap the fruit of the unfailing love and break up your powered ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and shower righteousness on you. Hosea 10:12. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe, and he exists, and that he reward those who earnestly seek him. Hebrews 11:6. God did this so that man would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Acts 16:27. The Lord is good to those who hope is in him, to the one who seek him. Lamentations 3:25. This is what the Lord said to the house of Israel. Seek me and live. Amos 5:4. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13. But if from there you seek the Lord, your God, you will find him. If you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul, Deuteronomy 4:29, the good hand of our God is on everyone who look to him, but his great anger is against all who forsake him. Aaron 8:22. And you, my son, Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with whole heart, devotion, and with the willing heart. For the Lord reaches every heart and understands every motion behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. 1 Chronicles 28:9. But if you will look to God and plead with the Almighty, if you are pure and upright, even now he will rouse himself on your behalf and restore you to your rightful place. Job 8:5-6. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Psalms 9:10. May God add a blessing to this word. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Mother. Right on the spot. Yeah. Yes. Talking about the purified church. We got to seek him and seek him for the instruction that we need to walk in purity, to walk in holiness, to walk righteous. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, it's not so much seeing it. We got to get the information from him. And we get it by the Spirit of God when we open the book and let him lead us down through the pages of holiness. You know, because this thing is serious. I mean, this world is serious, what's going on right now. So the line is open for anyone that wants to respond. The line is open. Hallelujah. Glory. The line is open. Jesus, we thank God for all you all that came on today. A few good few people on the line. We thank God for you all that come on and heard the word. Pray that the word reach us all where we are and take us where we need to be. I'm going to get out of here and relax my brain, and I will talk to you all. I think Bishop Washington is bringing the word on tomorrow. If the Lord say the same, we will be here. So, Father God, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for your unction of the Holy Ghost today. Thank you for speaking through us today, to speaking to us and leading us and guiding us into all truth. We ask, O God, that you continue to bless us and keep us safe, sanctified, holy, appointed and anointed and approved by you, Lord. We ask, God, that you bless the Apostle Washington, Apostle Stewart, Pastor Joyce Stewart, Bishop Washington, we ask, oh God, that you bless Mother Grant and her children, grandchildren. And God, we thank you for Sister Anna, Lord. She's faithful. Lord, we ask you that you continue to bless Deacon, Brother Deacon, and his mother and father, and all those in Apostle Clay. Lord, we thank you, oh God, for this Prophetess Cheryl. Oh God, we just ask you, oh God, to continue to bless Sister Tina. Bless, oh Prophetess Jackie. She got a message from her yesterday. We pray, God, you continue blessing upon Mother Apostle LeGrand and Evangelist Curtis and Evangelist Blanche. Lord, we pray for Apostle Victor Myers in the round table. God, we ask you, God, to move through the White House, God, and touch the president, the vice president, and all the cabinet members. Father, we ask that you touch the senators and the congressmen, oh God, the House. Lord, touch the Supreme Court Justice Department. Father, we are praying for the police department, the fire department. We are praying for the plumbers and electricians, the housewives and husbands. And God, we pray for the nurses and doctors and the ETMs, oh God, EMTs, Lord. We pray, God, yes, Lord. We pray for the teachers and for the children in the schools. God, we praying today, Lord God, that you bring the school in order, because the school is out of order right now. And God, we know that they're trying to do so much. They're trying to teach the kids stuff that does not make them wise. It does not make them understand who is the creator. But it takes them to, Lord God, they're trying to teach the children about Harry and Larry and John and Pawn and all this kind of foolishness, Lord. But we know that you know best. Lord, we ask you to touch those that are in charge, this new superintendent, a school board superintendent that is leading the schools down a very dangerous way. Oh, God, we ask that as the parents stand up for their children, that you give them, the strength that they need to stand for righteousness and not fall for the foolishness that the governments are trying to do. Lord, we're praying today, Lord God. We're praying for peace in our nation, God. We're praying, Father God, in the precious name of Jesus. Oh, God, that you would begin to, oh, God, as you continue to let your anointing flow through the earth realm from the north, the south, the east, and the west, oh, God. And Father God, we are praying right now that, Lord God, that you begin to subdue the enemy, oh, God, as you've already subdued him. But we ask you now that all of his agents that are moving to and fro through the earth that is causing all of this discombobulation, Lord God, that you would, oh God, cause them to submit, oh God, to your way and to your will, Lord God. Lord God, that the people will be able to go forth and teach and preach, oh God, the gospel of Jesus Christ without compromising or equivocation, Lord. We pray today in the name of Jesus, oh God, for Africa, Lord God. We ask that you continue to touch those that are suffering, those that are in need, oh God. And not only that, Lord, we ask that you continue to bless us so that we can be a help to those that are in need. And Lord, we pray for India, we pray for Japan, Afghanistan, Iraq and Iran, Syria, Egypt, oh God. We pray for Israel and Jerusalem, we pray for Brazil, we pray for Belize, we pray for Denmark, Holland, praying for Australia. They're going through so much over there. And Lord, we're praying, oh God, that there's been rain in Brazil for 30 days, and houses and cars and trucks and all businesses have been washed away. I tell you, it says 160,000 people are homeless, and I think it says something like 10,000 people or something are dead. But we know that, God, you are able, Lord God. God, this thing is just going. There's too much wickedness in the earth right now, too much evil in the earth right now, Lord. Father God, we need you to show up and show out, Lord. We need you to touch mankind again. Touch mankind again, Lord God. Because without your touch, Lord, we'll all be lost, Lord God. And God, your desire is that none should perish. We ask you, Father God, to show up and show out, God. God, we ask you to remove the warlocks and the witches out of the place, Lord God, that the true worshipers, the true worshipers can step forward and begin to give you glory, give you honor, and give you praise. God, we ask, Lord, they say there's a satanic holiday coming in, that they kidnap children, and then they have all of these rich people come and pay thousands, if not millions of dollars to witness the sacrifice and to drink the blood from the children. And Lord, we heard this morning, Lord, on the media, and they say that they kidnap children in the nighttime, you know, in the evening time, and you know, they go into neighborhoods and look for kids that don't have nobody, and they take them, and it's anywhere from, they say, from months old to 15 years old, they snatch the kids, and they say that they abuse them, they sodomize them, and stuff, you know. Even the girls that they kidnap, they sodomize them. They don't have sex, they sodomize them, because the devil goes everywhere that's opposite to God. And they sodomize the little boys and little girls, and they kill them, and they drink their blood and eat the flesh. These wicked rich people, billionaires. And but that came, remember the date they said that was coming up shortly. It's a satanic holiday, that way the witches and warlocks come together and worship Satan. And they steal people's children and sacrifice them for the devil so they can have power, so they can elevate in government and different businesses and stuff like that. So, Father, I pray today that, God, that you would make fathers and mothers, grandparents and grandfathers and grandmothers and brothers and sisters be very conscious of their surroundings and conscious of their siblings, and that parents will not get so caught up with the television and the computer that they forget their children outside in the front yard playing, that they don't pay attention, and people come and snatch their kids and take them away. Lord, we ask you, God, to come up and show up for us, oh God, because if you don't show up and protect us, who's going to protect us? Lord, we don't have nobody else in the earth, only you, Lord Jesus. We ask today, in the mighty name of Jesus, you to protect kids. And their teachers are going through so much today. Lord, we ask you to help the teachers, oh God, to walk in that path that brings glory to you, Lord God, that they don't be misused and abused, oh God, by the authorities, oh God. We pray today in the name of Jesus, oh God, that people be able to go back to work so they can take care of their family, that they don't depend on the handout from the government, which is only going to keep them in bondage, oh God. We pray today in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, for your blessings to overtake us, oh God. Bless us in the city. Bless us in the field. Bless us when we come and bless us when we go, Lord. We ask you, God, to continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath, Lord. Lord, we ask that you make us the lenders and not the borrowers, oh, Father God. God, as you bless us, we're going to bless those in need, oh, God. We're going to bless, oh, God, those that really need to see your hand. Lord, they're getting the word every day. Right here from Blog Talk, we're going to be sending the word all over the world. But, Lord, they need help. And, Lord, we need to help them to keep their kids in school, keep food on the table, because when the kids come home from school, they want to have some food. They want to have food, Lord God. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you right now that you opening doors so that we can work. We can work and we'll be able to do this stuff, Lord God, that you call us to do, Lord God. Father, we are so faithful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In the master's name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, nobody responds, so we thank God for you all. Anyway, we'll see you all on tomorrow. The Lord say the same. Have a blessed evening. And as Bishop says, if you got to go out, make sure you put on your mask. And you know, the life you save may be your life. This thing that this preacher was saying last night, that the virus is in the atmosphere. And they spray this stuff out there in the nighttime. It's out there. And you breathe it in. You know, sometimes if you don't protect yourself, you bring it back home to your family. You know, a lady was saying that her whole family got the virus. She said, but thank God that not one of them died. Not one of them died. She said, everybody, her sons, her daughters, her grandchildren, everybody got the virus. Her husband, she said, they all got the virus. She said, but nobody, not one of them died. So she is very grateful. And she said had all the shots. She had all the shots. She even had the booster and all that stuff. And she still got it, brought it home to her children and her husband, everybody got it. So she got married. She's been married now for 6 months, 7 months, and she says she can't even go on a honeymoon because you got to have so much stuff to fly. You know, you have to have so much different stuff to fly. So. But we thanking God for you all. We praise God for you all. And we are going to just go to here and relax. Yes. Thank God for healing my head today, because my head was so bad last night. I thought I had to go to the hospital. Yes. Just the back of my head was just it was just bursting with pain. But I laid hands on my head and I asked God to heal my head. Yeah, and I didn't get no rest last night because my head was hurting me so bad. And then I took them two pain pills, and the pain pills have caffeine in them. And I don't like to take them because, you know, when you take them, they don't let you sleep. And Excedrin, extra strength Excedrin, I thought that would take away the headache, but it didn't take away the headache. All it did was keep me up from sleeping. I got up this morning, and I laid hands on my head and prayed and thanked God for Jesus because he's still healing. He took away that pain. Took it away. But I'm going to lay down, take a rest, pray, keep Apostle Millie in prayer. We are praying for her sister this morning. Pray for her sister Lassa. Keep her in prayer and pray that God would heal her and that when she go back to the doctor, they will realize that they have gotten all of the stuff out and that there's no regrowth. You know, so she is, and then she gets strength. Pray for her strength, because she needs now to strengthen, to be strengthened. Okay, and not only her, anybody else that you know is sick, pray for them. Pray for them, because the Bible said the praise of the righteous availeth much. Pray for them, and then even if people don't like you, still pray for them. Yeah, like I always say, you don't have to go to the McDonald's, you don't have to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, but you got to pray for them. As a child of God, you got to pray for them. You know, if they took your money and then pay you back, scratch up your car, still pray for them. If they abuse your children, still pray for them. Still pray for them. Still pray for them.
Yeah. I just called my cousin, check on her. She tell me she in the hospital. I tell her, pray for her, keep her in prayer.
Oh my
Father
goodness.
God, we just thank you and praise you now. We hear the call. And Lord, Mother Grant, her cousin's in the hospital. But Lord, you know what the situation is. Whatever it is, Lord, I ask you to intervene right now. You show up there. You're the doctor, Jehovah Rapha. Show up now, Lord, and show up. Let that resurrected power rest upon her right now. God, we ask you, God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in her, Father. We ask you, God, to, oh, God, show up in that hospital room now and show out, Lord God. What the doctors can't do, you can do. Hallelujah. Because the doctors can only prescribe medication. They can give her some antibiotics, but they can't heal. Only you can heal. So, Father, we put her in your hand right now in the precious name of Jesus. Oh, God, give Mother Grant a good report that she wouldn't stay in the hospital too long, that she'll get back out of there and get back to her business, oh, God. Oh, Father, we just thank you right now. Lord, even now, I pray that you will walk through the corridors of every hospital, not just one, but every hospital, because you're omnipresent, you're omnipotent, you're omniscient. God, walk through every hospital room now, God, and begin to touch the sick. Those that have, the doctors give them just about a few days, just a few months, a year to live. God, go ahead and, Lord God, release that healing balm of Gilead in the hospital room. Mark through the penitentiary, through the jailhouse right now, God, the juvenile detention center. Lord, I ask you to touch the people that are locked up, oh God, incarcerated, God, and I ask you, Father God, to, oh God, waken their minds to new life, waken up their minds to new life. Let them know that jail is not for dogs, but it's just to get them back on their right path. Oh God, I ask you, Father God, to move by your spirit right now, Lord God. God, touch marriages. Ah, yes, Lord. Touch marriages right now. Some marriages are going to sleep, but God, I ask you to wake up marriages. Wake up marriages right now, Lord God. People in marriage are divorcing, they're getting frustrated because they're not able to go to work and they can't pay the bills and they're just giving up on their marriage, oh God. Lord, we're praying today, Lord God, that you would just touch marriages right now, touch sons and daughters, touch brothers and sisters, oh God, aunts and uncles and sisters, and, oh mighty God, just move right now, Lord God. We need to see your presence. We need to experience your presence in the earth realm right now, that people would just wake up from that place of hatred and animosity and malice and grievances and all this stuff, jealousy, Lord, that they will wake up to love and compassion and mercy and grace and long-suffering and patience with one another, Lord God, that people would stop getting bent out of shape so easy. My pastor told me years ago that I must stay flexible. He said, if you stay flexible, you won't get bent out of shape. So, Father, we pray today that you will let the world become more flexible, that they will bear one another's burdens, oh God, and help each other to get through these times that we're going through. We're going through perilous times, troubled times, oh God. Oh, Father, we just pray today, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we pray mostly for those EMTs. I heard you, Lord. Those EMTs that got to go to homes and take out people that are suffering full-blown COVID, Lord God, and they have to put their life on the line, and even sometimes they go to houses where there's dispute between husband and wife, and they put their life on the line, oh God, like the police over here that went to the house was called for dispute and went to help the people, and the man in the house shot the police, killed the police. I read at the door, yeah. So we pray, God, that you give them a protection, Lord, when they go, oh God, to try to help EMTs, police officers, fire department, remember, the fireman fell to the roof. He's in the hospital now. fighting for his life. Lord, we just pray, God, that you give them a little bit more protection. Help them to use more wisdom, that they watch where they're stepping and where they can't see. God, you make a way that they will see, oh God. Remove the smoke that they'll see where they're putting their foot, that they're putting their foot on somewhere where they wouldn't fall to a roof or to a floor, Lord God. Father, we just thank you right now, God. We thank you for loving us when we didn't love ourselves, for caring for us when we couldn't care for ourselves, Lord. We thank you for providing for us when we couldn't provide for ourselves, oh God. We just thank you right now. And thank you for helping us to provide for others, oh God. Lord, we just bless your name, Lord. We praise your name in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God. We just praise you. And now we pray, God, that you help Pastor Goodis to be able to pick up these funds before the New Year's, that he'll be able to do stuff and get the medication he needs for his father. Lord, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we pray for India. Lord, we pray for them. They got dealing with the Hindus that are coming against the Christians and beating up the Christians and messing up the church and all that kind of stuff. But Lord, we ask that God, you show up and protect all the people. They're such humble people that they would just stand and let the Hindus just beat on them with 2x4s and everything. I got it on my page with a guy, the Christian pastor was beating. The Hindu man was beating him with a piece of 2x4, and blood was just coming down his face. And he hit him with his head on his face and all his back and everything, beating him for preaching Jesus. But Lord, we ask, God, that you protect them. Send dispatch angels, even though that they stay humble and don't want to fight back, Lord God. They're turning the other cheek, like you said in the Bible. Lord, send angels to help them to stand strong against the Hindus. And Lord, let them to prayer and allow them to pray and praise and preach a word, oh God, that would draw to convict the Hindus, oh God. You know that they can't save nobody, but you can save. Lord, when they preach the word, let the Hindus' hearts be convicted to turn from that way of life and turn to Jesus Christ and give their hearts to Jesus. Father, we just pray for the Muslims. Pray for the Muslims, oh God. We pray for all those that every other religion, oh God, that don't believe, even those that believe in yoga saints and all that kind of stupidness and all this Ouija board worshippers and God, we pray for them, all those witch doctors and witches, Lord, we pray for them, those that are working witchcraft, thinking that witchcraft going to get them rich and they're going to have this and have that. Lord, let them know that hell is enlarges those. Lord, we just ask right now that you touch them witch doctors and the witches and the warlocks, God. God, you said it in your word that all souls belongs to you, that even though they're working witchcraft, their soul belongs to you. Oh, God, don't let them die and go to hell. I ask, God, that you save witches and warlocks, God. Draw them to you, Lord God, by your spirit, God. Oh, God, cause them to confess their sin, oh, God, and turn from their wicked, sinful way. Oh, Father, we just thank you right now and praise you. Pray for these people in government right here in our country that is drinking human blood. Drinking blood, oh God, and eating human flesh, oh God, because they want that satanic power. They want to elevate themselves in the governments, oh God. Lord, we ask all over the world, not only in the United States, all over the world, in Haiti, in Ghana, and oh God, in Nigeria, and Kenya, and all over the world where they're worshiping, oh, South Africa, Lord God, down in the Congo, Lord, where they're worshiping all these different deities, oh God. We pray right now in Canada, Lord God, oh yes, Lord. We pray in the Caribbean, Lord, in New York City, you hear the Lord. We ask you to just touch today. Touch right now, God. Touch right now. And set the captives free. They're in captivity. They're in captivity by the strength of the devil, oh God. His temptation showing them all the world. Lord, the same thing that he did to you, that he's doing to the people, oh God. He's showing them the world. You had the power. You have the power that you could resist him. But Lord, I ask you to give us and give all the others the power, the strength to resist the temptation of the devil, to trust in you, oh God, and not to lean to their own understanding. In all their ways, let them acknowledge you as God and Savior, Lord God. And Lord, we know you will direct their path, God. So Father, we just thank you. We honor you today for what you have done, what you're doing. Thank you for the word that went forth, oh God. We know that the word is going to bless many people when we send it out because it blessed me. And it even blessed me as I even think of it more. I could have put out more word today, but I honor what you said. You should pull back, and I pull back. Lord God, we just pray today, God, that we leave this land, but not your presence. You do what only you can do. Keep us, oh God, secure. Lord, we pray for Pastor Joyce. She's out there ministering to the people. She drives her car to go to the sick and shut-in and minister to them. Lord, we ask you to give us strength, Lord God. And we ask you to protect her car while she's traveling. Oh, Lord, get her to the place safe and get her back to her husband safe, Lord. Protect Apostle grandsons and granddaughters and great-grandchildren, Lord. We ask, God, you protect his sisters and brothers. Lord, protect everyone connected to him, Lord. We ask you to protect, Lord. Lord, we thank you for fixing the roof, Lord God. We ask you, Father God, to add new people to the ministry, Lord. He is a great help in the kingdom, Lord, Lord God. He's got a kingdom mindset, Lord. And because he's a kingdom builder, Lord, I know, God, that you're going to bless him and bless his wife even the more, God, to stay healthy and wealthy, Lord God. You're going to make crooked places straight for him and rough places plain. Lord, we just thank you, God, for the praise team he has over there, those women that can sing and praise you, Lord God, and the prayer warriors that he have, oh God, that's not afraid to pray, oh God, and intercede for people that they have not seen and people that they know and don't know. Lord, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you protect Apostle Washington, Lord God. Lord God, protect her, Lord God. Lord, a woman that got a heart to serve you and serve your people, oh God. Lord, we just thank you right now. Thank you and praise you, oh God. We bless your name, Jesus. Lord, we have a thousand times we can praise you enough, God. You've done so much for us. We have not done enough yet, Lord God. There's still much more we want to do, Lord. We just praise you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Have a blessed evening. We shall talk to you all later. Have a blessed evening. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Amen. God bless you and your family.